We know a lot about Abraham Lincoln. He's probably our most studied and analyzed president. But in spite of all that, much of what we know about Lincoln is legend and myth. Lincoln is larger than life, so it's hard for us to see the man Abraham Lincoln, flesh and blood who, like many Americans to come, suffered from severe depression. Joshua Schenck is the author of Lincoln's Melancholy, How Depression Challenged a President and Fueled His Greatness. It's a fascinating book that delves into the mental health of our 16th president, starting with the photo of Lincoln on its cover.
He looks sad in all of his pictures, and his contemporaries said that that's pretty much the way he looked when he was in one of his melancholy moments. What I love about this photograph on the cover of my book is that for whatever reason, maybe it was a photographer's error, Lincoln is looking slightly up, and it gives you the impression of a man who is very much weighted down, very much melancholy, but also looking into the horizon at what's next, as if at his sense of purpose, at the meaning of it all. And this is very much the sense I got of Lincoln's life, that he was in pursuit of meaning. I mean, I think it's one thing that we can take away from the story of his melancholy, which was, you know, very much my object in this book, to try to understand him, of course, because it's important for history to understand our significant figures, but also to understand what we can take away from the story.
Hmm. Melancholy is a kind of interesting word. It has shades of meaning, but is it a diagnosis? If Lincoln were to be seen by a psychiatrist today, what word would we use instead of melancholy to diagnose him?
He clearly was diagnosable, and psychiatrists that I talked to have said this is a very plain case of what we would call today major depression or major depressive disorder.
Of course, there are different stages in that diagnosis that you're talking about, because anyone who has had suicidal thoughts would be diagnosed as surely having major depression. And Lincoln did? I mean, this is not something that's talked about very much. Did he try to commit suicide?
Not that we know of. He was desperately suicidal at least twice in his life, first in his mid-20s and then again in his early 30s. And it was a shock to me. This is how I got involved with this story. I was a journalist and I had an interest in mental illness. I was looking for a story and I read something about Lincoln. To that point, I really saw Lincoln the way that we come to understand him through the Lincoln Memorial. I thought that he was this larger-than-life figure made of marble, you know, not human, some kind of god of history. And when I learned that he had grappled with these desperate thoughts and that he had not only grappled with it, but that he articulated extremely forcefully the desperation of melancholy in this letter, a famous passage of a letter that begins, "I am now the most miserable man living," and goes on to just, you know, it's a dispatch from the depths of a personal hell.
Could you tell me more about that letter?
It was in the midst of this very gloomy winter, extremely cold, and Lincoln had a hard time with the cold weather, as he later explained. He thought that kind of set off his gloom, and it was very trying politically and personally. And Lincoln was corresponding with his law partner about political matters pretty regularly. His law partner was in Washington serving in the U.S. House, and he began this letter by saying that he couldn't satisfy, you know, his partner's request because his mind was in such a deplorable state. And then he went on and gave some news, and then he broke and he said, "I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one happy face on the earth."
Oh my.
It's a very short passage. There are a few more lines that I'm not quoting. I think of it very much as the Gettysburg Address of suffering. I say that, you know, partly to be, you know, provocative, but partly because there's a very real comparison. The Gettysburg Address is commonly thought to, you know, be the very best articulation we have of the American idea, the democratic experiment, and it's so lean and muscular. There's no fat in it. It's extremely short and tight and musical. And this passage does the same thing for suffering. You actually never find out in it why he's suffering, what the particular thoughts or causes are, and yet he gets right to the heart of this experience, a sense that You know, he feels not only miserable, but the most miserable. There's a kind of strange power to his misery that if it spread out, it would actually, you know, infect the whole planet. And then he goes on to say that if he doesn't get better, he can't imagine living, but he can't imagine getting any better. And this is a really crucial aspect of the experience of depression. You know, the feelings are one thing, the feelings of pain and remorse and all the things that go through a melancholic's mind. But what's absolutely the worst about it is the sense that it's never going to get better. Yeah. There's no way out. And Lincoln was clearly in that state.
There is, of course, a universal story of Lincoln's life that we as a country like to cling to, and the idea that he was ever suicidal is not part of that story. But there is data. There is this letter that you mentioned. There is also, isn't there a poem that is possibly by Lincoln that talks about suicide?
There is indeed. People in these early oral histories that came out about Lincoln shortly after he died made reference to a poem he had written about suicide. And some early biographers looked for it, couldn't find it, and it was pretty much left there. But there's been a renaissance of these primary materials on Lincoln's early life. And connected with that renaissance, a scholar used these materials to track down the poem. And it really bears all the marks of Lincoln's pen. It fits all the contextual evidence. This poem was published in the Sangamo Journal, which was the Whig paper in Springfield, Illinois, on August 25th, 1838. It's titled The Suicide's Soliloquy. Here, where the lonely hooting owl sends forth his midnight moans, fierce wolves shall o'er my carcass growl, or buzzards pick my bones. No fellow man shall learn my fate, or where my ashes lie, unless by beasts drawn round their bait, or by the raven's cry. Yes, I've resolved the deed to do, and this the place to do it. This heart I'll rush a dagger through, though I in hell should rue it. Hell, what is hell to one like me, who pleasures never knew, by friends consigned to misery, by hope deserted too? To ease me of this power to think, that through my bosom raves, I'll headlong leap from hell's high brink, and wallow in its waves. Though devil's yells and burning chains may waken long regret, their frightful screams and piercing pains will help me to forget. Yes, I'm prepared, and through endless night to take that fiery birth. Think not with tales of hell to fright me who am damned on earth. Sweet steel, come forth from out of your sheath, and glistening, speak your powers. Rip up the organs of my breath, and draw my blood in showers. I strike, it quivers in that heart which drives me to this end. I draw and kiss the bloody dart, my last, my only friend.
Joshua Schenck is the author of Lincoln's Melancholy, How Depression Challenged a President and Fueled His Greatness.